You're listening to Kiss My Aesthetic, your go-to podcast for brag-worthy branding, marketing, and entrepreneurship advice. I'm your host, Michelle Winterstein of MKW Creative Co. Let's dive into the episode. Greetings and welcome back to the Kiss My Aesthetic podcast. It's another solo episode, and it's one that is very chewy. Let's call it that. It's something that nobody really wants to be in. It's a position that sometimes happens that I think people do not talk about enough. And that's what the heck you're supposed to do when the client doesn't like the design work that you have presented to them. This is something that happens regardless of how many years you're in on your business, regardless of how much experience you have. But I think now that I've got almost 10 years under my belt, I've come at a way of approaching it that I wish I had known when I was younger. I wish I had had the confidence to figure out how to present my thoughts and how to also remove my ego from when a project like is kind of going a little bit sideways and how to get it back on track. So I'm really hoping that this episode can solve a lot of those questions for you and at least get you thinking about how to communicate to your client in a way that still respects and reflects your personal boundaries and also delivers them the result that they're after. So I'm going to think of two projects of mine that have gone this way in the last 5 years. And I'm going to kind of talk you through how I, the business owner, like the designer, was able to kind of either salvage or let them go. So again, it's a situation that nobody wants to be in, but the project usually goes like this. It starts off probably awesome. You have a discovery call, you're fired up, the client's excited, everything's going great. You get into that first round. You've got the agreement on the brand questionnaire. You've got all their answers written out. And you've got everything figured out as far as what the client says that they want from you. They've sent you their inspo. You've listened to my podcast episode where I say all the questions in my brand questionnaire and why I ask them. And you've got good reasoning and a good, clear vision of how you'd like to move forward. You sit down, you start designing, you create a concept that you're in love with, that you think solves a lot of their problems, and you're able to present. Obviously, we've got the prior solo episode that's like how to get better at presenting your design work. I definitely recommend that you listen to that episode before this one. And in your presentation, you're like bringing your full energy. You are so excited for them to see everything. You're solving their problems. You're going back to the questionnaire, the original call. You're pulling in their language to help describe what it is that you've delivered. You send it, and then the client comes back and goes, "This isn't really what we were looking for," which is some of the most gutting, heart-wrenching, dagger to the chest feedback as a designer. Because our jobs as designers are quite literally to take input, take information and translate it and spit out visuals. So when the client is saying, you know, "This isn't what I had in mind at all, can we see something else?" It's really, really difficult to take that feedback sometimes. And I'll be the first one to admit it. No matter how many times you do it, no matter how many times you've sent it over, it's still hard to hear that what you poured your heart, soul, and energy into is not what the client wants to move forward with. So how do you, number one, get over that? I think the first and foremost step is to, first of all, take a big step back and realize that you are not your work. You are not your work, and someone not liking your work does not mean that they don't like you. And someone who doesn't like your work also doesn't necessarily mean that the work was bad. So remember all of those things from the jump. You are not your work. Just because someone doesn't like your work doesn't mean that they don't like you. And just because someone doesn't like the work doesn't mean that the work is bad. If you can repeat those to yourself as a mantra, and you guys, by the time that I'm recording this, I'm saying this to myself. Like, these are reminders and affirmations to myself still 10 years in. That's like, just because they don't like it doesn't mean I didn't do a good job. We need to figure out where was the communication missed. So you can have your pity party for all of approximately 0.2 seconds, and then you got to go into problem solving mode. And I think the first thing to remind the client in this instance, when they say, "Hey, this isn't really what I had in mind. I'd like to see something else." You can first and foremost remind them that that is part of the process. Design is iterative. Of course, the dream is to get a home run, knock it out of the park on the first try, right? Especially when you're presenting one concept method, which we know can be a lot of hours. It's a lot of effort. It's a lot of energy to put into something. So the first thing that you've got to do in that instance is reassure the client that you are willing to do what it takes to get them the branding that they love. Because at the end of the day, that's the project at hand. That's why they've hired you. That's why you're a professional. That's why they're coming to you to solve their problem anyway. You don't want to create a culture of someone giving you a suggestion or giving you feedback and you being like, that's dumb. I'm not doing that. That's not what we want to do. So the first thing I did when the client said this to me was, listen, this is part of the design process. This is iterative. This is a conversation. What we need to figure out is where was the breakdown between what you asked for and what I delivered. So the first problem solving of that whole scenario was going back to the initial brand questionnaire, the mood boards, the initial conversation, and saying, okay, you see when you asked for this, 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 and that, that's over here. Like, that's how I interpreted what you asked for. I had this happen like a long time ago with a client who said she wanted her branding to be quirky. I want quirky. And so I took quirky to mean like, okay, like different shaped letters, lots of fun colors, like variants, like things that are mixy matchy, right? Because that's what quirky means to me. When really what she wanted was like maximalist, which isn't necessarily quirky. So when we identified that what she was looking for was maximalist and not quirky, we could then eliminate out the things that made it quirky and instead add in the things that made it maximalist. So again, what you're trying to do in this phase of like the client says, don't love it. This isn't what I had in mind. Then we need to get really, really clear on like, okay, well, what did you have in mind? What were you looking for out of this exercise? And how can we go back to what we started with and ensure that what you asked for is what you actually meant? Because a lot of times you have to remember that the client isn't trained in aesthetics. They are not paying attention to this stuff all day, every day. They are not paying attention to fonts. They're not paying attention to colors. They're not paying attention to branding in the way that you are because you're the expert, right? So you have to start to educate them. Okay, this inspiration that you brought forward, this works for this brand because XYZ. This would or would not work for your brand because ABCDEFG. So putting those two things at opposites of each other of like, okay, that's great that you saw this brand do this, but that's not your brand. Your brand, as the way that you've described to us, is like this. And I actually used this analogy with the client specifically. I said, listen, if I'm the chef and you come into my restaurant and you say, hi, can you make me dinner? Your dinner is going to taste a lot more like you anticipated if you tell me what your allergies are and you tell me how you like your meals prepared. Like if you love a well-done steak and I bring you a well-done steak, and then after it's well done, you say, actually, no, I wanted medium rare steak, then that's kind of not on me. Because that means that the communication, what you asked for, is actually not what I was able to deliver because I was working off the information of what you asked for. So to kind of redirect the conversation, again, we sent the first draft of branding over. The client says, you know, it's not what I had in mind. The first thing to do is to reassure them that design is iterative. And in our scope of work, one round of edits is included in the branding part of the service. So they get one round. They get one chance to kind of be like, I like this. I don't like that. Let's fine tune this. Let's eliminate that. Da, 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 da. And they can kind of start to customize based on our initial one concept method presentation. But if they're not happy with what that whole concept is, it kind of starts to throw up my red flags of like, okay, well, what is this person actually asking for? And how is what they're asking for different than what I delivered? So what we did then was go back to the beginning, go back to the original brand questionnaire, go back to the Pinterest board, back to the mood board, back to the ideal client avatar and say, okay, are these adjectives accurate? Is this ideal client avatar accurate? Are these mission statements, taglines, services, are these all accurate? And I think in a lot of cases, the clients get conflicted of what they want their brand to be and what their brand should be. And I say that softly, right? Because like should is subjective. But I think we need to think about like, are they trying to brand something for themselves? Or are they actually trying to brand it for the ideal client avatar? Because the sentence in itself, it's not what I was looking for, can sometimes be a bit of a red flag of, okay, well, it's meeting your client where they're at, or it's meeting your customer. It is representing what you're after, going back to the beginning, trying to get those answers out of them. Once you've got the answers, it's really important to go through and side-by-side compare. You asked for this, which is why you got this. You wanted this kind of color palette, which is why I've chosen these color tones. You wanted the brand to feel XYZ, which is why we're using these stock photos. And then you wanted the logo to work in all these instances, which is why we gave it to you in these different formats. So point out to them the logic that you took, the trip that you took to go from their answers to the deliverables. And I think when you do that, you can start to flag and notate like, oh, okay, well, what I really meant by that was XYZ. And how do we get more of that and less of this other thing? So included in that scope of work is the second draft of the branding. When we approach the second draft, what we're trying to do is take the basis of what we had plus the input from the client and give them a new combination. Now, what can happen here, which is, again, every designer's worst nightmare, is that you end up with a very Frankenstein-looking project. Like, all of a sudden, we're stripping away a bunch of stuff, we're adding in a bunch of new stuff, and we're kind of trying to, like, make a well-done steak taste rare when that's not possible. You can't go backwards. You can't unbake a cupcake. So that's where it starts to get really, really tricky, and it's harder to start to digest and understand how to make this work without trying to scrap the whole thing, which is why we only do one round of edits. In this instance, I'm thinking of specifically, we showed them the round of edits, we presented it, and the client still came back and said, nope, this has missed the mark. This is not what we were after. This is not what we're looking for. And at that point is really a breaking point because we can decide per our contract, okay, can we actually service what you're after? Or are we just so not aligned on the vision that this is going to be an insurmountable effort to try to redo this whole thing. So, and usually at that point, what happens is that there are things that are more foundational to the business that haven't been decided on that are now trying to get worked out in branding. And if this isn't a message that you should absolutely have your mission statement, your vision statement, your ideal client, your taglines, your business name, like locked and loaded by the time you start branding, this is definitely your clue. And I think question I got on TikTok, are there certain situations that you can get ahead of this? Absolutely. So when you're thinking about this, when the client hasn't committed and there's something I could have done better or differently is in that brand questionnaire made them commit to a tagline. Like, hey guys, we're not going to move forward with the branding until you have a tagline 100% locked and loaded. We're not going to move forward with the branding until you have your ideal client avatar 100% locked and loaded. Because again, it's like asking someone to cook when you don't know what ingredients you're working with. So if we can get the ingredients, we can stock the pantry, we can stock the fridge, I can go to town, no worries. But it's when we don't have the ingredients decided upon that it's like, oh, I said I wanted Italian, but really I want Chinese. It's like, well, that requires a whole different set of ingredients. So we need to go back to where the ingredients are. So again, like the red flags, could they have been avoided? Maybe sometimes, you know, a project slips through or you get excited for a brand or you get excited about their potential and you take that risk. It usually comes back to bite you in the butt, but not always, right? So I think that there are things that we can think about when it comes to like delivering a high quality product, delivering a beautiful brand that solves the client's problem, but the client also has to really know who they are too and like have that information readily available so that they're delegating out to us in a way that's going to be successful. After sending off the second round, if the feedback is still like, hey, not what we were looking for, can we see something different? You've really got to try to weigh your options here. So this is why it's so important also to know your numbers and know your profitability on projects, because you've got to know how much margin is going to get eaten up if this project that you anticipated was going to take 20 hours ends up taking 60 hours or 80 hours or 100 hours. Those are huge margins. So as a business owner, I still have to pay attention to all of that. So I have to decide like, okay, what's our time spent thus far? What did we allot for this project? Where is our wiggle room and our margin? And at what point does this thing need to be scrapped and restarted? And I think like that's really the integral part. And I think having a contract that protects yourselves in those instances is paramount because at every checkpoint, again, this is another really, really important thing to keep on top of mind. At every single delivery point with the client, I'm expressing to them at which point they'll have to pay separately for additional edits. So presenting the first draft of the branding, you never want to go in and be like, oh, if you don't like it, just let me know, because that's setting them up to have that kind of feedback. If you go into that first presentation and you say, we hope you love it, we're so excited for this concept, on the off chance that this isn't what you were looking to see, you do have that one round of edits to use. Then on that one round of edits presentation, I say, hey, this is your one round of edits. We're going to have a conversation about what you'd like this to look like. We really hope that we nailed it. We really hope that we knocked it out of the park for you and delivered what you want. If there's a chance that it's not what you want, there will be a reconsultation fee, or we'll at the very least have to have a conversation about the best steps forward. in this case, that's exactly what we did. So we had a conversation. They said, you know, this is still not what we're looking for. I'm trying to narrow in on like, what is the specific thing that they're unhappy with? Is it the fonts? Is it the colors, the styles? Is it the submark? What's the thing that's prohibiting them from wanting to move forward with this, even though we've been over it twice? And then figuring out like, okay, is this something that our team is going to offer? Or is this something that needs to be like, now we've got to start over? So in the instance I'm thinking of specifically, it's like, I really wanted to get this right for them. And I really, really wanted, and I do all of my clients, but in this instance specifically, I could see where in the second draft, they had given feedback that hadn't been implemented on or that had changed from draft one. So the issue again, because the answers were changing and shifting and morphing from the original conversation, we're now a little loosey-goosey on how to implement those things. So I wanted to take one more stab at it, one more opportunity to be like, okay, I think I know what you're asking for. I think I know what you're ordering. Let me see if I can actually materialize that in a way that you guys are happy. And also reminding them at the end of that conversation, if we have to restart this project and reconsult it from the beginning, then that's just going to have to be the next step. Again, like having your contract locked and loaded for this that explicitly outlines when things are going to multiple drafts or multiple iterations or need to be brought back to the beginning for feedback, what those reconsultation fees are, what those project restart fees are, that's really important. In an instance that happened a few years ago, we did the same thing, presented the first draft of branding, client didn't like it, presented the second draft of branding, she still didn't like it, tried for a third time as a courtesy to say like, hey, I really want to get this right for you. I'm going to try the best that I can to give you what you're asking for. I'm not going to charge you separately for it because I think like we're really close to a solution, which I really did believe. And even at that instance, the client was like, this isn't what I want. So what the heck are you supposed to do when you're like, I don't know how to give you what you want. I don't know how to give you what you want because I don't know, number one, that you know what you're asking for. And number two, I don't know that you know how to communicate what it is that you're looking for. How the heck are you supposed to move forward? And the way that we approach that is by saying, listen, we've gotten this far in your project. We don't know that we can deliver what you're looking for because we don't know what you're asking for. So it's the reality, right? So it's like, it sounds like you need to work with a designer. And this is the way to put it nicely, to like cushion the blow, is to say, it sounds like you need to work with a designer that can better see your vision because we're clearly not picking up what you're putting down and you've got to work with a team that can. And so in the instance from a few years ago, that looked like, you know, we've deemed this project 80% complete. So we're going to give you all the files, have them. We're going to give you all the work, all the prep stuff, everything that we've worked on for this project, we're going to deliver to you anyway, knowing that it's unfinished, but we're going to give it to you anyway, so that at least you're starting off on a good foot with whoever you hire next. Because what good does it do to me to just like hold all the stuff back? Nothing. So I'd rather them have everything. And in that case specifically, even though their invoice is 100% upfront and 100% non-refundable, because we've saved time in our calendar, we booked it out for you, I've got the staff, I've got the systems, everything. In that instance, we refunded back the last 20% of the project. So we said, hey, as a courtesy to you, even though we're 80% of the way there and you're still unhappy, as a courtesy to you, we're going to go ahead and throw you that last 20% that we didn't execute on, so that you can use that as money to kickstart with somebody else. Because we're getting the sense that we're not going to make you happy and that you're not going to get what you want out of this. And we don't want to be the inhibitor to your success, but we also can't work for free. In no instance as a designer should you be refunding 100% of the work. Absolutely not. And if you're not getting paid up front, take this as your sign to do so. Because that is literally like you're giving your time, your energy, your money, your resources, your team, your expertise, your knowledge, your strategy to this client. And if they can't communicate what they want effectively to you, that doesn't mean that you should not get paid. Just like a waiter, waitress shouldn't not get paid if they give you a meal that was exactly what you asked for, but then after the fact, you told them you wanted to eat something else. So think about it that way. Like there's almost no business virtually is going to let you go to a concert, enjoy the entire concert for you to go home and be like, I didn't really like that concert. Can I get all my money back? Like, that's just not how the world works. And so I think when you're creative, you can sometimes feel taken advantage of, right? You're like, dang it. I'm giving you what you are telling me that you're asking for, and I'm giving it my 110%. And if you're not picking up what I'm putting down, I'm sorry, but that's kind of what this business relationship is. This is the contract that you signed. I am recording this live on TikTok, and now we've got some questions coming through, which is exciting. Aubrey asks, what responsibility do you think the designer has on digging out the vision from them? And then HSW asks, were you obligated to give the 20% contractually, or was it a favor? So in that instance, it was a favor to the client. I said, listen, I would feel better if you took the money that was left over from what we have not used yet and went on to work with someone else, because I think you're going to be more happy with them, or you're going to get what you want better. Or if you really want to be this person that kind of wants to be the client with the hand over the mouse, like looking to be a button pusher that just wants a designer to execute, it's not going to be us, because we're coming from a place of strategy and we're coming from a place of our professional marketing opinion. And that's what's baked into our branding. I think that's our secret sauce. But if that's not for you, that's also fine. That's also fine. But you're going to have to work with a different team. And so I think that that can also like start to soften the blow. I will also include in that conversation, usually like a link to my Facebook group. You're more than welcome to post in there. There's over 7,000 designers that would be chomping at the bit to help you. So again, like soften the blow, bring it down, make it a little bit less intimidating, less scary. And I think if you're always coming from the place of wanting to help your client, you'll come out of it unscathed. I think if you're always coming from the place of, hey, we did the best that we could to give you what you wanted, I'm so sorry that you're not happy with it, but I want to make sure that you do get the branding that you want and you have something that you love, because I don't know that I'm going to be able to deliver that to you. And so I think that admitting that is really what does help you in the long run. Going back to Aubrey's question, what responsibility do you think the designer has to dig out the vision from them? I think that that's strategy. I think that that's branding strategy. And that, for me, is something I'm working on internally and that we're going to be doing in the new year, is separating out the strategy from the branding. Just like website designers, a lot of them won't do copywriting. I need to start separating out brand strategy from brand design, because they really are two separate services. And those two separate services are so, they can be related, but they really do have to happen sequentially. You have to have the strategy in order to have effective branding. And effective branding only really works with good strategy. So thinking of those as two separate services instead of one and the same, I think would help me a lot. And I want to start to create more frameworks and checkpoints and booby traps and red flags in the strategy session to make sure that that's confirmed, locked and loaded, ready to go before we ever open Illustrator. So that's kind of the thing that I want to start to weigh out, is like, how can we make the strategy session so crystal clear that by the time I see the branding, it's actually not a surprise. They actually shouldn't be surprised by what they see in the branding, because it's so reflective of the strategy that we've already discussed. So it's not so much that the client needs to bring the strategy, it's that there's a collaboration there. We're going to do the strategy together. But in order to move forward to branding, the strategy has to be locked and loaded. What's your scale plan? What's your revenue? What's your acquisition model? Where are you getting your leads? How are you getting your leads? What platforms are you going to be getting leads from? How are you converting those leads? What does that sales structure look like? What's your upsell? What do you, as the founder, how do you want to be positioned within your own organization? There's a lot of questions now in retrospect that I'm thinking of that we could have asked this client and the other client that would have given us more context into how to do their brand and their branding successfully. So I think, again, like still 10 years in, we're still learning, we're iterating on our own process, we're evolving our own process. And every time you have a project that goes a little bit sideways, you have the opportunity to learn. You have the opportunity to learn and move and evolve and adjust in a way that's going to be to your own benefit and get you even more to your secret sauce. Like I said, these instances where the client didn't love the branding on the first go has only happened 2 times in the last 5 years for our team. So I'm going to sit pretty on our batting average here and feel pretty good about the fact that we do know what we're doing. Like, I really do think we know what we're doing, but it doesn't negate the fact that sometimes it doesn't go smooth. And I think that how you weather the storm when things don't go perfect is way more telling than how you do when you just crank it out, crank it out, crank it out, crank it out, right? Like if you're always on your A game and you're always playing at 150% and you're always giving it your full effort, not to say that we haven't on this effort, but I think there's so much not said about how, as the business owner, the designer, the creative, you can redirect a project that felt like it was falling off and get it back to center, to get it back to a productive place. And ultimately, at the end of the day, really making sure you're serving the client. Because my ego aside, like my own personality or my own opinions aside, I want them to feel successful in what they do. And I want them to feel like they got the assets that are really going to help them take their business to the next level. So if that's my goal, whether it's me designing it or it's somebody else, that part doesn't really matter. I'll do the best that I can with the information that I'm given and try my best to deliver high quality, high converting brand for them. But if that doesn't come together because of a whole host of reasons, I still want to be a part in helping connect them to whoever that person is that's going to make that happen, right? So keeping that back to the core, like remembering that even if you can't solve the problem for your client, be part of the solution. Don't just say, well, that's too bad. Your time is up. See ya. And like leave them in the dust. I think a big part of it is like making sure that you're aiding them in the transition of whoever they're going to work with next. I know this is like a heated topic and a bit of like a vulnerable topic for me, right? Because I think that the tendency to want to only show the stuff that goes really well is a natural one. But hopefully this episode is something you guys can come back to. You can share, you can save as a resource. If this was helpful to you, I would love it times a million if you would share it on your socials, comment, interact with the content on Instagram, on TikTok, save the clips, share it to your stories, recommend it to someone. It really does help us a lot. And hopefully you can take my pain and channel it into your own learning. And that's a dramatic way to end it. I think it's just because I'm in the thick of it right now. But all things like happen for a reason, right? New level, new devil. Thanks so much for listening, guys. And we'll catch you again next time on the podcast. Bye. Thanks for joining us for the Kiss My Aesthetic podcast. Don't forget to follow along and leave us a review anywhere you listen to podcasts. We'll see you in the Kiss My Aesthetic Facebook group for years and years of behind the scenes content and over 5,000 connections with fellow creatives. For show notes from today's episode, please visit mkwcreative.co/podcast. This episode was edited by Berta Wired and theme music comes from Eliza Vera and Nathan Menard. Catch you next time.